My, oh my, so thankful for that tonight. Deuteronomy chapter number 21. We began last week and we have been speaking about this matter of sharpening as our theme for this year from the book of Ecclesiastes. And we began to speak about the church sharpened. And we preached a number of messages about areas in the church that we can constantly be sharpening. And then last week we began to look at the subject of the home sharpened, and we preached a message, don't just say it, prove it. Don't just say it, prove it. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to sprinkle in some messages regarding sharpening the home. And tonight, and I don't know if this is the best place to begin, but this is where we're going to begin tonight in Deuteronomy chapter number 21. And tonight I want to bring you a message entitled, Sharpening Our Expectation of Obedience. Sharpening Our Expectation of Obedience. And by the way, we're speaking to the home tonight, but this could be true in every area of life. This ought to be true in the church. We ought to sharpen our expectation of obedience. We ought to expect some things from each other, shouldn't we? Don't you expect our deacons to live a certain way? Don't you expect them to live obediently to the Word of God? Absolutely. We need to constantly be sharpening our expectation. And we ought to have some expectations. You ought to have some expectations of me. I ought to have some expectations of you. And we ought to constantly be sharpening our expectation, especially in this area of obedience. And parents tonight, those of you who still have children at home, some of you don't have children at home. Some of you have grandkids, and even your grandkids are adults now. And some of you may not have the influence on children per se. However, just about all of us have influence with the children in our church, don't we? At least we should. And I know not every parent agrees with me on this tonight, and that's okay. I don't think any less of you if you don't agree with me on this, but if you find my children being disobedient, you have the permission to correct them. By the way, if you ask my children a question and you don't get a yes sir or a yes ma'am or a no sir or a no ma'am, you have permission to correct them on that. I expect my children to have respect for authority. And you can have that same expectation for them. If you ask them a question and they say, yeah, you ought to say, do I need to go talk to your dad? Do I need to go talk to your mom? And my kids are older now, I understand that. But there's expectation when it comes to the matter of authority. There ought to be respect for authority. You ought not allow your children to talk to you the way other adults talk to you. Or other adults, or the way adults talk to you. You don't have to agree with me on that, but Lord help us when it comes to this matter of authority in our nation. Lord, help us when we let our 3-year-olds talk to us as if they're 21-year-olds. Lord, help, they're not. Look at verse number 18. Sharpening our expectation of obedience. And by the way, I tell you that is my expectation for my children. It may not be for yours, and that's fine. But I'm serious about that. If you get a yeah from my children, correct them. Yeah. That, no, no, no. It's yes, sir. It's yes, ma'am. Respect. And you have every permission. Now, I'm not saying you have permission from other parents to do that. They haven't given you that permission. I have given you that permission. Because I want them to show you respect. Verse number 18 of Deuteronomy chapter number 21. The Bible says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that, when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. We've said it many, many times. Aren't you glad we don't live under that? I didn't bring us here to tell us that's what we ought to do tonight. And don't leave here thinking, well, Pastor said, I have a rebellious son or a rebellious daughter. Let's take him to the elders and let them take care of it. No, because I'm thankful that didn't, my mom and dad didn't do that to me. Yeah, I'm glad. But do you see in the Old Testament how serious they dealt with the matter of obedience and of a child being obedient to his mother and father? Take your Bibles, and we're going to go to a few places tonight. Not many. I'm not going to run you all over the Scriptures tonight, but take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy, if you would, tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, sharpening our expectation of obedience. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, when the missionary families were here, when they came in on Saturday, that first Saturday on the 6th, and we had all of them in our house, and we had supper together, and we were finished up, and we were all just sitting in the living room, just chatting, just talking. And the Mrs. Ferran, you know, they have the little girl and Macy, and she asked all the older couples, which would be us and the Starks. She said, "I wanted to ask you." She said, "I always like to ask." She said, "Can you give us maybe one area of advice about raising children?" And I didn't say anything because I'm thinking, first of all, I'm not old. But I was glad Mrs. Stark, she kind of jumped in quickly. And I was so thankful because what she said was absolutely right. And this is what she said, one word. She said, consistency. Consistency. Now that covers a realm of different areas of consistency. We need to be consistent in our discipline. We need to be consistent in our teaching. We need to be, and none of us are perfect on this, I know that. We need to be consistent in our own lives, how we live. Consistent. Just day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out. Consistent in discipline, consistent in the way we live, consistent in how we teach. Consistent, consistent, consistent. Sometimes young couples get frustrated because they try to follow the Word of God when it comes to discipline. They try to follow the Word of God when it comes to training. And it seems like it's not working, but here's the key. The key is consistency. The key is staying at it day in, day out. Week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, consistency. We can't do it. It's just, look, it's just like trying to lose weight. Well, I ate good for 2 days. I ate well for 2 days, and it didn't work. Absolutely, it didn't work. Well, you have to eat well for 6 or 7, 9 months for it to work, right? And by the way, the older you get, it takes longer. No, you can't eat well for a week. Well, that sure didn't work. I'm going back to my regular diet. No, it takes time. Week in, week out, month in, month out. It takes days. It takes weeks. It's the same thing with kids. It's the same thing with discipline. It's the same thing with training. It's the same thing with our Christian lives. Well, I read my Bible for a week, and man, I didn't see any spiritual growth this week, so I think I'll throw that to the side. No. No, it's consistent every day, staying at it every day, being faithful every day, because the results come way out there. Not up here. Not a week into it, not 2 weeks into it, but out there. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers." What's the next one? "Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." From such who are trying to teach you, turn away. Don't listen to those that can't even get these things right. Turn away from that. But he said one of the evidences, one of the elements of seeing the last days of the perilous times, if you will, is that people are going to be disobedient to their parents. Disobedient to parents. In opposition to God's Word, they're going to be disobedient to parents. Now, let's take our Bibles and go back to the book of Colossians, if we could. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And that's why it is incumbent upon us to constantly be sharpening our expectation of obedience. Our expectation of obedience. And by the way, parents, we have to be careful, because the more kids that we have, sometimes our expectation lowers. We have to be careful about that. Now, sometimes we learn, don't we? Sometimes the first one, maybe we do some things that maybe we're a little over the top, don't we? And so we learn a little bit. I get that. But friend, listen, the third or the fourth or the fifth child should still have the same expectations as the first. Our expectation for obedience from them ought to be exactly the same as the first child. Colossians chapter number 3. In verse number 20, and by the way, in the church, our expectation of obedience from every child ought to be the same. Doesn't matter if it's a church kid, doesn't matter if it's a van kid, our expectation of obedience ought to be the same. Doesn't matter whose kid that child may be, our expectation of obedience ought to be exactly the same. We ought not expect more from certain than others. Our expectation ought to be consistent. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 20. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." And then let me read the passage in Ephesians, if I could. Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And so tonight I want to give us, out of these couple of passages, Colossians 3, and primarily Colossians 3, but also Ephesians 6, I'd just like to give us three truths, and we'll develop those truths tonight, about this subject matter of sharpening our expectation of obedience. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help tonight. Father, we sure do love you tonight. We love your word. We're thankful for it. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to be more obedient to it. As we think even tonight about sharpening our expectation of obedience, we're speaking of children tonight. We're speaking of the home. But truly tonight, we could apply that in many different areas. And Father, as Christians, we need to sharpen constantly our expectation of obedience when it comes to your word. Just as an individual Christian, as an adult, there ought to be some expectations in my life and on my life when it comes to the matter of obedience to your word. And so, Lord, tonight, whether it's parents trying to train children or just Christians trying to live according to your word, may we sharpen our expectation of obedience tonight. And may you teach us and may you help us tonight. I pray that moms and dads will be helped tonight and would be encouraged just to continue to be consistent and to stay at it and to stay at it and to stay at it. Father, I pray that you would help in those areas tonight. Father, I do ask that you be with those that are away from us. Some are sick and some may be traveling tonight. Father, whatever the reason, Father, I pray that you put a blessing on them right now. Help them to understand that they are missed in a special way. And Father, I pray that even this week we'll contact them and let them know how much we've missed them and how much we even missed them today. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing upon them even at this very moment. Lord, teach us and help us. Lord, we'll commit these next few moments to you and we'll praise you and thank you in advance. We'll give you glory in advance for what you're going to do in our hearts in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Number one tonight, I want us to see the commandment to the children. The commandment to the children. So, kids, teenagers, this is your point right here. And by the way, all of it's your point tonight. All of it's all of our points tonight. But listen up real clear right here. The commandment to the children. The Bible says in verse number 20 of Colossians chapter number 3, children, obey your parents. What's the next three words? In all things. Children, obey your parents in all things. Yeah, but Pastor, my dad isn't what he ought be. And Pastor, my dad doesn't always do what he tells me to do. We say it many, many times and we'll continue to say it. Look, what your parent does doesn't excuse you from obeying God's Word. By the way, what my children do and what my children desire doesn't excuse me from being obedient to God's Word. My children may not like certain rules, but that doesn't excuse me from following through with those rules and having those rules. The commandment to the children. What are the commandments that we find not only here in Colossians chapter 3, but also in Ephesians chapter 6? We find it in Exodus chapter number 20 in the Ten Commandments. The commandment to the children. Two things here. Number one, children are to obey in action. Children are to obey in action completely, immediately, and wholeheartedly. Children are to obey in action. Whatever the action is, they're just to simply do it, right? Go take out the trash, go vacuum the living room, go wash the dishes. That is the action, and they are to obey that. Go cut the grass, go clean the garage, go do whatever, go pull the weeds out of the flower bed. Whatever the action is to be obeyed. The commandment to the children. Children are to obey in action. Secondly, children are to obey in attitude. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says in verse number 2, and by the way, this is also in Exodus 20. This is one of the Ten Commandments. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 2, the Bible says, it begins with obey your parents in the Lord in verse 1. In verse 2, it says, honor thy father and mother. So secondly, first, children are to obey in action, but secondly, children are to obey in attitude. The word honor means to place value on, to place value upon something or someone. And in this case, children are to place value upon their mother and their father. By the way, that's why I mentioned what I mentioned earlier. Children ought to place value upon authority, whether it's mom or dad, or whether it's any authority for that matter. And when they're speaking to them, they speak with respect and with reverence because they are an authority figure. That's what the word honor means, to place value upon. So, children are not only to obey in action, but they are to obey in attitude. Children are to be taught that his or her parents have value and that what they believe and teach has value. Don't miss that tonight. Your child can obey in action and not obey in attitude. By the way, most of us adults understand that because we've probably done it before. We have obeyed in action, but our attitude has been poor. Our attitude has been wretched. the grumbling, the complaining, the talking under the breath, the mumbling while we're actually doing the action. We're mumbling and we're complaining. That's not honoring. And adults, we can be just as bad about this, can't we? Yes, 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 amen. We can grumble and we complain when, or we can complain when we're given a job to do. It's the same thing. Children are to obey in action. Children are to obey in attitude. So, kids, teenagers, how's your attitude tonight? How's your attitude? Is it good? Is it honoring? Are you placing value upon your mom and dad? Are you placing value upon what they believe and who they are? Are you placing value upon the fact that they believe in hard work, that they believe in the Word of God, that they believe coming to the house of God? Do you place value upon that? Do you honor them for that? Children are to obey in action. They are to obey in attitude, to place value upon. Boy, that is vital that we teach our children to do that. That we teach our children that what we believe and what we believe about the Word of God has value. Because it does. It has tremendous value. That's why we are to honor the Word of God. And again, none of us are perfect. I get that, but we're to honor the Word of God in our homes. We're to live the same in our homes as we do on Sundays and Wednesdays and any other day of the week. Doesn't matter who we are around. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is. We honor the Word of God because it has value. Number one, we see the commandment to the children. Children are to obey in action completely, immediately, wholeheartedly. And let me say before we move on to the second one, completely and immediately. Don't let it linger. If you tell your children or your grandchildren to do something, expect them to do it immediately. Now, I understand sometimes they may ask, well, can I finish this? And okay, that's fine. But there ought to be a response to what you just told them. There ought not be just no response and I'll do it when I get ready to do it. If they're doing something, they may say, and our kids do this, Daddy, can I finish this before I do it? Sure. If it's not something that needs to be done right away, sure, finish that, but then go do it. There ought at least be a response. There ought not be just the back of the head with no response. Hey, are you listening? Did you hear what I said? No, there ought to be a response. Okay, Dad, I'll get it right now. I'm going to finish this up. It'll take me a minute, and then I'm going to go do it. Okay, that's the right response. Completely, immediately. And by the way, sometimes they don't do it completely because maybe they don't understand exactly how to do it. Go back and show them. Go back and show them. I was bad about this with my kids of giving my kids a job and expecting them to do it just like I did it. That's wrong. That's wrong. And instead, many times, when it wasn't done the way I wanted it, instead of going back with patience and care and showing them and saying, hey, this is what I wanted, we get angry, don't we? Well, why didn't you do it? Why did you do it that way? Well, that's in their 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old mind, that's how they thought it should be done. And unless I have shown them otherwise, I can't get upset about that. If I want it done a certain way, I need to show them. I need to tell them. Now, if I show them and tell them and they still don't do it the right way, they do it their own way, then okay, that's a different story. But immediately and completely, make sure the job is done completely. And then thirdly, and this goes along with the attitude, wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly, with everything they have. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us? Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do all to the glory of God. This is what we need to teach our children. Everything we do, we're doing it to the glory of God. And by the way, parents, we need to teach them that by example. I don't always do that. Sometimes, oh my goodness, I've got to do that. I've got to do that. I'm not, look, that's not a wholehearted attitude, is it? So number one, we see the commandment to the children. Secondly, look here again in Colossians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 21. Secondly, we see the duty of the dad. We see the commandment to the children, but secondly, we see the duty of the dad. And we can include mom in here too, but it says specifically, fathers, sharpening our expectation of obedience. There's a commandment to the children, but there's a responsibility of the father. Look what it says in verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be what? Discouraged. Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Ephesians 6 says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I have a responsibility as a dad. What is that? And I want to give you three right here if I could. Three responsibilities. First of all, I have the responsibility to teach doctrine. I have the responsibility to teach doctrine. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, 4, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The admonition is the teaching of the truth of God's Word. I am to nurture them. I am to care for them. I am to take care of them physically with their clothing and their food. I am to nurture them. But I'm also to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. I am to teach them what the Bible says. So, the children have a commandment that they need to listen to. They need to obey. But listen, fathers, so do we. And maybe ours is of greater responsibility, is it not? We're not to provoke our children to wrath, but we're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How do we do that? What's our first responsibility, the duty of the dad? First of all, we are to teach doctrine, whether that's the doctrine of salvation, whether that's the doctrine of holiness, whether that's the doctrine of living obediently, whatever the truth is, we're to teach them that. Hey, what did the Apostle Paul tell Timothy? What had Timothy been taught? In 1 Timothy 4, verse number 12, now I understand Timothy wasn't a child at this time, but he was still a young man. He says in 1 Timothy 4, 12, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. How did he know how to do that? Because he had been taught. Whether it was by his grandmother, whether it was by his mother, whether it was by the Apostle Paul, he had been taught how to be a good example in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So the first responsibility is that I am to teach doctrine. I'm to teach my children. And sometimes, especially as they're getting older, it is following up, making sure that they are reading their Bible. You see, as kids, you read the Bible with your kids. And even when they get older, you do the same thing. But the older they get, it's us following up with them to see if they're reading their Bibles themselves. Because the older they get, they ought to be doing that on their own. The older they get, they ought to have their devotional book out. They ought to have their Bible out. They ought to be having a little time of daily Bible study of their own. And mom and dad's following up on that. Mom and dad's asking, hey, did you read your Bible today? You've been reading your Bible this week. You've been doing your devotions this week. Following up. Why? So that we know our children are learning doctrine. First of all, to teach doctrine. Secondly, to train with discipline. Admonition of the Lord, nurture of the Lord. We teach doctrine, we train with discipline. We teach doctrine, we train with discipline. The admonition and the nurture. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but it goes back to we need to be consistent. We need to be consistent and we need to follow the Word of God. Train with discipline. The Bible says we use a rod. You train with discipline. And I understand there are other forms of discipline that can be used. I get that. And if you use it, I'm not against you whatsoever. But the first mode of discipline ought to be with the rod. Well, Pastor, I use timeout. Okay, fine, but you better use the rod first. Pastor, I ground my kids. Okay, that's fine. I don't find grounding in the Bible. I don't find time out in the Bible, but I do find the rod. And that's fine if you want to use that in addition to. My mom and dad grounded me at times when I was a teenager and I did certain things. My mom and dad, you can't go here, you can't do that. I get that. Sometimes taking away what they love is a big deal. I get all that. But when they're little, those things don't matter to them. When they're little, that's when the rod consistently discipline, consistently is absolutely vital. Every time. And we've said this before, but let me say it again. It may cause you to have to leave a buggy full of groceries in Walmart to go out to the car, then do it. It may be that you don't stop at the car, you just go all the way home and just leave the whole buggy there. Do it. I don't know how many times my wife did that with our children growing up in the grocery store or Walmart or wherever, it didn't happen a ton of times, but occasionally we're going home and we're going to go home and deal with it. Here's my consistent. That's my point. Because if you do it one time and then the next time you don't do it, see, you're confusing your children. Oh, man, I don't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen if I do this? The last time we went home, this time I got to stay. No, consistent. Every time, consistent. It can't be one time and then the next time we just let it go, or the next three times we let it go. And it can't even be three times we're good and then the next two times we let it go. No, it's got to be consistent. Consistent discipline. Consistent. What are our responsibilities, Dad? First of all, to teach doctrine. And then secondly, to train with discipline. By the way, what does Hebrews 12 tell us? It says, if we love our children, we'll do what? Chase them, because that's what God says about us. He loves us, so what does He do to us? He chastens us as His children. If you're taking notes, write down Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through, I think, 12 or 13. Write that down and go back and look at it. God loves us, so He chastens us. Okay, we love our children, right? I don't really know right now. I'm not really sure. We love our children, right? Oh, y'all are so pitiful. Your children are sitting right beside you. Mama, you don't love me? No, we do. We love. So what do? We chasten. Why? Because it brings them back into the right path. Okay, let me give you a third one here. We teach with doctrine. We train with discipline. And then let me give you this one. We temper our demands. You see what he says in verse number Ephesians 6:4? He says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. In Colossians 3, verse 21, he says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. This is what I was speaking about a little bit just a moment ago. We temper our demands. Provoke not. Provoke means it means anger. It means to exasperate, frustrate. Okay, we don't provoke our children. We temper our demands. And here's what I mean by that. How do we temper our demands? We temper our demands with a proven life. We're not hypocritical. I've said it so many times. You want to raise a rebel? Have rules without any love. Have rules, and then you live totally opposite to those rules. And you'll train a rebel with a proven life. How do I temper my demands? With a proven life, with patient love. With patient love. And with a parental learning. Here's what I mean by that. Know your children. They're all different. All three of my kids are different. Personality, they're different. Know your children. Temper your demands based on what you know about your children. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying we have lower expectations because one of our children is different. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is know your children. It's the same thing when the Bible tells us as husbands to dwell with our wives according to knowledge, right? We need to know our wives. I can stay right here for a little bit, apparently. It looks like I can. No, we need to study them, right? We need to know what makes them cry, what doesn't make them cry, what makes them what pushes their buttons. Hey, husbands, how many of you know what pushes your wife's buttons? You can pester and pester, and you know exactly what gets them. Yeah, you do. Yeah, Billy, yeah, he knows, doesn't he? You know, my wife says to me sometimes, why do you pester me so much? Because it's fun. Okay, we know. We have a knowledge. We ought to have that same knowledge with our children. We ought to study them. We ought to know their personalities. And God Almighty, in His wisdom, He said, don't provoke your children to wrath. I remember it, and I'm not trying to embarrass him tonight. He tells me he doesn't even remember it, and I'm thankful that he doesn't. But I remember one time when Jonathan was probably, I don't know, he may have been 11 or 12 years old, and he had just started weed eating this ditch out here. And I remember it so vividly because I have such regret about it. This is what the Bible speaks about when it says, don't provoke your children to wrath. We had purchased a new weed eater for him. And it was one of those weed eaters, which I found out it was a terrible weed eater. We took it back and got a good one. But it was a weed eater where you just stuck the little weed eater line. They were in probably like 6-inch sections or maybe a little bit longer, but they just popped in. Well, what I didn't realize was those things just popped out just like that. And so Jonathan had been out weed eating for probably a couple of hours and hadn't gotten anything done. And I thought he was just being lazy. But he wasn't. And I punished him. He never said a word. That's provoking your children to wrath. We can't do that. He didn't deserve that, and I've asked him many times, and maybe he does, and maybe he's just trying to comfort me, I don't know, but he tells me he doesn't remember that. But I do, because it hurts me. Because I punished him for something he didn't do. And parents, we need to be careful about that. We're quick to jump to a conclusion. We're like the children of Israel in the book of Joshua when the 2.5 tribes went back across the river and the other 9.5 thought that they were building an altar to false gods, and boy, they just jumped to conclusions. And they weren't. That wasn't what they were doing at all. And boy, we're good at jumping to conclusions. And as parents, we jump to conclusions about our children instead of giving them the benefit of the doubt and finding out what's going on. What are my responsibilities as a dad? First of all, I need to teach doctrine. I need to train with discipline. And I need to temper my demands. I'm not talking about compromising my demands. But what I'm saying there is I need to temper my demands with a proven life. If I'm going to demand something, I need to live the exact same way. If I'm going to ask my children to do their devotions, I need to do mine. If I'm going to ask my children and follow up on them, I've often wondered, and they've never done this, but I often wonder if my children turned it around and said, Dad, did you do your Bible reading this week? Well, they wouldn't do that, but if they did, could I say yes? I better be able to. Dad, did you do your devotions this week? Did you do your devotions today? Not studying for a message. Because you do that every day. Not studying for a message, but did you have your own personal time in the Word of God today? If I'm going to demand that from them, then I need to have a proven life. I need to temper it with a proven life, with a patient love, because they are just kids, right? And we're here to train. That's what we're doing. We're training. And then with a parental learning, we know our children and we get to know them and we get to know their personalities and we get to know what pushes them and what provokes them, and we know our kids. So number one, we see the commandment of the children. We're talking about sharpening our expectation of obedience, the commandment to the children. Hey, kids tonight, teenagers, you have a command that you need to obey. And it's to obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The commandment to the children. Secondly, the duty of the dad. He is to teach doctrine. He is to train with discipline. He is to temper his demands. And then thirdly, we see the promise to the pleasers. The promise to the pleasers. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well, what? Pleasing unto the Lord. For this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What is the promise to the children who are well pleasing in their obedience? What is the promise? Long life. What else? I don't know if it says it right here. We may need to go, let's see. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be what? With thee. That it may be well with thee. And thou mayest live long on the earth. Hey, kids, listen up. Teenagers, listen up. We gave you the first point. Second point, we talked to your dads, moms and dads for that matter. Hey, kids, this third point is yours. Again, what is the promise to the pleasers? What is the promise to those who are well-pleasing in their obedience? This is right from the Word. This isn't me trying to make something up or me trying to add to the Word of God extra biblical revelation. It's right here in the Word. What are the promises? Three things. Number one, the promise of integrity. This is right, the Bible says. For this is right. The promise of integrity. The promise of a child who has the characteristic of integrity. Number two, not only the promise of integrity, but the promise of prosperity. And I'm not talking about financially per se. The Bible simply says this, that it may be well with thee. Prosperity. Hey, a home where moms and dads get along is a lot better than a home where moms and dads and children are screaming and yelling at each other, isn't it? Peace. You want to talk about prosperity? We could talk about a lot of different words. We could talk about peace. Boy, there's something to be said about peace in a home, isn't there? Where there's not screaming and yelling all the time. How many? Listen, I don't know your home. I don't live with you, and I'm glad. I'm glad you don't live with me. But listen, how many of you like screaming and yelling? None of us. None of us. Contrary, kids, to what you may believe, moms and dads don't like to scream and yell. I don't like it. First of all, that's one of the things that we have tried, and we have tried not to do with our kids. We don't scream and yell. We don't scream and yell. That's one of the things, and which I don't think we would have ever done it anyway, but that's one of the things Beverly taught me with her teaching background and what she was taught as a teacher. When kids get loud, you don't raise your voice. You make them come back down to you. You don't scream and yell at them. You make them come back down to you. You make them lower their voice. You don't raise your voice. You make them come back down to you. No, nobody likes that. The promise to the pleasers, the promise of integrity, the promise of prosperity and the promise of longevity. Hey, it's in the Bible. Thou mayest live long on the earth. The Bible says it's the first commandment in verse 2 of Ephesians 6 with promise. The commandment to the children. Hey, kids tonight, teenagers tonight, we are to obey. You are to obey in action, completely, immediately, wholeheartedly, and you are to obey in attitude. Hey, kids tonight, start fostering an attitude of honor towards your mom and dad. That may not be your attitude right now, okay? And I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to help tonight. Your attitude right now at this very moment at almost 7 o'clock on a Sunday night, March the 28th, your attitude may not be to honor your mom and dad right now. Over this past week, you may not have honored them. Hey, why don't you decide tonight with God's help and make a commitment this week, I'm going to honor my mom and dad. Honor simply means to place value upon them. You may not always agree with them. You may not always agree with their rules or even their decisions that they make, but you place value upon their position. And by the way, I know they don't hold this over your head, but you place value on the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that they have spent on you over the years. Yeah. They're not going to say it to you, but I'll say it to you. Place value on them. Honor their position. Honor who they are. Why don't you make a commitment tonight, teenagers, to do that, if you're not already doing it? By the way, if you're doing that and if you're honoring your mom and dad, God bless you. God bless you. You're way ahead of the game. Because most teenagers in our world, they could care less about that. They don't want to honor their mom and dad. They think their mom and dad, their moms and their dads are absolute idiots. And by the way, they've been taught that by our national media, by Hollywood. Place value upon them. The commandment to the children. Hey, dads, we have some responsibilities. Are we teaching? Are we training? Are we teaching doctrine? Are we training with discipline? Are we tempering our demands? Are we proving? Like we said last week, don't just say it, prove it. Don't just say it, prove it. Are we proving it to our children? And then kids tonight, teenagers, there are some promises to those who are well-pleasing to God in this matter of obedience. The promise of integrity, that for this is right, the Bible says. The promise of prosperity, it shall be well with thee. And again, don't get caught up with that word and just think financial. That's not even what we're talking about tonight. It shall be well with thee. And then the promise of longevity. It's there. It's in the Word. Don't miss it tonight. Constantly sharpening our expectation of obedience. Hey, parents, let me ask us tonight. Have we kind of let down on our expectations when it comes to obedience? Sunday school teachers, church family, have we let down on our expectation of obedience when it comes to our kids in our class? Maybe on Wednesday night? We can't do that. We ought to constantly sharpen our expectation of obedience. Doesn't matter who the child is. By the way, we hurt kids when we expect less from them than the Bible expects from them. We hurt them. So God, help us to be constantly sharpening that expectation of obedience. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And Father, I do thank you that you give us such grace in these areas. Father, you give us your word, and Father, we need to obey it. Lord, there's no question about that. But Father, we're flesh, and Father, we need your grace and mercy. Our children need your grace and mercy to be obedient in action and attitude. Sometimes I know as parents, we don't make it easy for them to obey. I know that. But Father, they still need to obey. They still need to have the right attitude, and I pray that you'd help them to do it. Help them to understand that no matter the faults and failings of their mom and dad, that it is well-pleasing to you if they'll simply obey. God, would you sear that into their hearts tonight? Would you sear it into our hearts tonight that we're not to provoke our children to wrath, but we're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Help all of us to be sharpened when it comes to this expectation of obedience. Help us tonight. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you're physically able, would you stand with me tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed? Miss Pam's going to play. I don't know your heart tonight. I don't know your need. But if there's a need, would you come? Would you take that step? I know you can pray right where you're at, and if you desire to do that, that's absolutely fine. But I tell you, taking that step, whether it be just out in the aisle or maybe all the way down to the front, just doing business with the Lord. Hey, it might be a teenager tonight that would need to just come and do business with the Lord and say, Lord, I want to place value upon my mom and dad. Might be a dad who would come and say, Lord, please help me not to exasperate my kids, not to provoke my children to wrath. Might be a parent that would come with their child. Just pray together. Just let your child know how much you love them just by praying with them. Lifting them up to the Lord, letting the Lord already knows, but letting them know in the presence of God how much they mean to you. How much good you desire for their lives. How much good based upon the Word of God. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That goes for all of us tonight, not just kids and teenagers, not those that still live under the umbrella of the authority of their parents, but that's all of us tonight. Because every single one of us live under the umbrella of the authority of God Almighty, under the authority of God's Word. Where He sends, we will go. Are we obeying that? What He says, we will do. Where He sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey.